everybody, and welcome to Horror, Blood, and Coffee. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and we're back for another half of the season. And I'm excited because we got our co-host, Samantha Marie. How are you doing?
What's up, everybody? I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. And then we got Derek Huey here. How are you doing, Derek?
Hey, how's it going, Derek?
Whatever that was. All right, and we've got our special guest, Cameron Scott. How you doing, Cameron?
I'm doing fucking fabulous.
Our very special guest, Cameron. We love Cameron. We worked with Cameron on one of the teasers.
We did a teaser with him. He was really easy to work with. Loved it.
I got to kill him and stab him multiple times.
You tried killing me, but as you can see, I've recovered.
Right.
You can't see it unless it's
how professional we were on set while I was pouring what was it, fucking rum shots for us.
Right. And I was in a teddy, but whatever. That's a different story.
But y'all had Domino's, so that made it legit.
And we had pizza.
It's amazing how long it took us to film it, because when you watch it, it's only like a minute long, but it felt like it took us like 5 hours or so.
That's like every new director's worst nightmare, right? As you think you're like, oh, it's only like, it won't take that long to shoot. 20 hours later.
I don't know, but it was fun. I love dying on camera. I love getting covered in fake blood. It's fun.
Well, you're very good at it. So.
Yeah. And Cameron,
I've been told I die well.
And Cameron and I have, we've known each other for a long ass time, since like you were shooting your movie before. I interviewed you for that, Postmortem, you know, America. So, I mean, we've known each other since the MySpace days.
That's been like 13, 14 years.
MySpace era, you know. So,
I remember Derek before we ever actually met and shot together from the Nerd Remix days. Those are
he is very unforgettable.
He is beautiful.
Either love him or hate him. There's no in between.
Dude, I've met some people who just thought I was okay.
A sexy motherfuckers.
All right, everybody. So we're here to talk about Willy's Wonderland. I know this is an older movie. Starting next month, we're going to start getting to some newer movies. But right now, we just wanted to kind of do a movie where we kind of recapped something people have already seen and probably already are happy to talk about. So first off, this was Sam's choice, too, because she,
I like to call it Willy's Wonderland or the Nick Cage Show is what I like to call it.
It is the Nick Cage Show. And thank you, Sam, for choosing it, because not that I need an excuse to watch Willy's Wonderland again, but I fucking love this movie.
I mean, I know it's an older movie, but it's like it's super fun.
It was fun, but I felt like it didn't quite reach it. Like, I felt like maybe the budget was too small or something.
It was 5.5 million.
That's crazy. It felt like it was almost there for me, but not quite. Mm.
Well, it's really? Not really that old. It only came out like, 6 months ago? Or right. Longer?
So it's a 5.5 million budget, and worldwide gross so far, they've grossed only 431,000.
So I'm guessing Willy's Wonderland 2, sadly.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like a cult, you know.
Well, Nick Cage produced it too, so I mean,
What was that? We saw something where he like read the script and he's like, "I'll do it as long as we do exactly what's in the script."
Yeah, that's why that's why he wanted to produce it, because the second he read the script, he became very protective of it and wanted to, you know, save it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have been a completely different movie had he not done that, you know?
It could have been a completely different movie if FNAF would have never been made.
I mean, also, Nick Cage, he has a love for silent horror films, so I think that was one of the reasons why he was drawn to this one, too.
Yeah, well, I think if anybody else had gotten their hands on it, they probably would have insisted that the character speak at some point, and which I think would ruin everything.
I mean, I'm almost positive whoever wrote it like writes video games, because it felt like it was very set up like a video game. You have your bosses, your end boss.
So the writer was G.O. Parsons, which is George. Good old George wrote it. I looked him up. He literally only has like a few credits, but one of his, and I've never heard of, but one of his credits was he did an episode, he wrote an episode of Shark Week. So I was like, ooh, because I love Shark Week.
Wait, so wait, they, oh, I guess they do, because they have to have somebody say the dialogue there, but I just was like, they write Shark Week?
Yeah, one episode, because there's like, you know, a million episodes, so.
I know.
But that's the only thing. I looked him up and the director, and, you know, I've never really heard of either of them, to tell you the truth.
I don't think they have done anything, but this should have been the movie that...
the director, Kevin Lewis, has done a few things, but nothing I ever heard of, and, like, I didn't even write down... I guess there's, like, one movie that's... A lot of people are like, well, not a lot. Some people may know, but I never heard of it. And I didn't even write it down. So
which
I literally wrote down, never heard of him or seen his stuff before.
Well, and he hadn't like directed anything like since 2006 or seven.
So yeah,
he
had like
a long hiatus.
Yeah. I guess he was trying to get this one, you know, made or something for a while.
Well, I also read too that the original, I mean, it's not too far off, but the original title was called Wally's Wonderland. So I'm glad that they changed it to Willy's because it just kind of sounds like a little dirtier to me. Yeah. I don't know why. I feel like it comes off as a dirty title, but that's because I'm a little boy.
Willy's Wonderslaw.
I mean,
more people would have seen it if it was titled that.
What's in the box? Oh my God, it's a dick. I never would have
thought. And then Justin Timberlake comes out.
Got my dick in a box.
I agree. I think as far as Willy's Wonderland goes, like the beginning, like it hooked me from the very like start of the movie, like going, what the fuck is going on? And I was one of those people that actually did not know that he does not speak the entire movie. So I'm just waiting for him to like, I want to call him Silent Cage, you know, because like I thought he was going to say something at the end of the movie, you know, just have one line or something, you know. Nope, he does not say a damn word, and there's no explanation why either. Like, they don't, and which I like, you know, like I was afraid that they would actually have some kind of explanation of why he didn't speak, you know.
Yeah,
what I hated were the fucking kids, man. Like, I thought the movie was going at a very good pace, and then they just introduced more bodies for the slaughter.
Well, I think they just did it for the horror formula. You know, it was very like 80s. If you break it apart, it's very 80s style horror as well. And they followed a lot of like the troops, you know?
How they fell through the top was very weird. And then how the friends fell through following them, being like, oh, how did all this happen?
Because, you know, they had, like, the sexy girl, they had the dumb guy, they had, like, the hillbilly guy. You know, they had all... Yeah,
they got the jock and everybody else.
Yeah.
But I think Derek said it best. It plays off like a video game, because it's, like, you got boss levels, and, like, and even, you know, when he takes his little breaks, his little, like, energy drink, pinball playing breaks, it's just, like, that's the breaks in between every level. It plays like a video game of a horror movie.
I was sad at the end. When he took the bag of drinks and started smashing it. For some reason, like, somebody else said this, but I agreed. I thought he was just going to drink them all, then just become, like, Super Cage.
That would have been awesome.
I would have done it. That would have been much better.
I thought that's what it was leading up to. Instead, it was leading up to him putting in a bag and just fucking bashing someone. I'm like, that's cool, but not as cool.
I did have a bit of trivia. The energy drinks, it says on the side of it. I didn't catch it while watching it, but I got it off the IMDb trivia. It says the tagline is a fistful of caffeine for your kisser. I love that. That's just great.
You know, good marketing, because whenever I watched it, it literally made me thirsty every time I seen him drink.
I know. He makes it look so good.
I know. I was like, what? Whatever he's drinking, like, I want to go buy it because it looks so good.
I was almost thinking you could have a drinking game with it. You know, drink an energy drink every time he drinks, you know?
Right. Not good. Not good for my heart.
I just want that pinball machine.
I do like it. I like it that it was energy drinks to get him, like, you know, keep him going throughout the night, because that was the whole idea, is that, you know, he was there. He had a mission. He was going to clean that fucking place up until, you know, and do his bit so that he could get his car back, you know, and everybody else was in his way of doing that. So it is like a video game. If you think about it, it's kind of a boring video game if it's people cleaning, but it's like, right. You know, it's like you had a mission to do that. And I thought that was really cool.
I love the lighting, the way, I mean, I know a lot of it was probably a visual effects, but there's like a lot of shots where like the lighting is just like, you know, like just blasting out of the camera. And you just see like all these cool, just very cool lighting visuals and like flames.
Yeah.
I did read where a lot of people actually hated the camera work. I mean, a lot of negative comments was like talking about the director, like, oh, this must be like, he couldn't wait to get a hold of a camera and just like start shaking it everywhere and do like weird things. But I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very unique.
I thought the camera work was great. I mean, yeah. The best, but I mean, it's great. I mostly walked away from this flick feeling bad for Cage's character, because every time he would clean up a fucking room in that place, he'd have to, another person would die, and then he'd just have to clean it up again.
Or he'd change his shirt.
And change his shirt. It's like, I wanted him to just one time just to speak and go, motherfucker, I just cleaned this floor.
Right. Yeah, like when he did the restroom, clean up the restroom, and then what was it, the elephant attacked him or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't think there was an elephant. Was it the gorilla? Was it Gus the gorilla?
Oh, yeah.
It
was
Gus the gorilla.
Yeah. I had to actually write down the characters because I couldn't remember like what they all were.
My favorite being Nighty Night. I thought that was the best title of the, well, not, I mean, he was my favorite character, but he was my favorite title of a character or name. My favorite one was Siren Sarah.
I like the lady. She was
Siren Sarah.
Mine too.
It was like, I won't hurt you. You can trust me.
No, my other favorite
was Cammy the Chameleon.
That said,
Cammy the Chameleon, right?
Yeah, that's the one who said you could trust me. And then
that was a cool scene.
And you knew you couldn't. Like I was like, don't trust her.
Really?
My favorite.
There's a reason why he's the dumbest character in the fucking movie. Right? That's it right there.
Yeah.
Siren Sarah had like my favorite line in it, where she's looking at that kid, that fat kid, and she was like, "You want to fuck me, fatty?"
I actually have that written down as my favorite quote too.
It was so funny, like it was so out of like the blue, and like I mean, it was like, okay, so I have to ask this because you guys, you know, I don't know how many times you guys have seen this movie. I only saw it once. My question is, what did you guys think? Because it was a bunch of serial killers that killed themselves, right, in a ritual or whatever, and then their souls, I guess, went into the bodies of these animatronic characters. And so were all of them guys, and then some of them were stuck in girl bodies and stuff? Because some of them did act like girls, you know, or whatever. But were there girl serial killers? I was never able to see that, or whatever.
The scene where they're all in the room on the ground, right? I guess you got a freeze frame. I only saw it once, which was months ago. I was just shocked at how much they were able to steal from Five Nights at Freddy's without being sued.
Oh, okay. So that's
because it's almost the exact same story. Like, what was it? Five Nights at Freddy's had something to do with the occult. People die, they put their souls into the dolls, and then they're trying to shove other people into the dolls.
Or the
animatronics.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I heard that a lot myself about the Five Nights at Freddy's, but like, to be quite honest, I was not familiar with Five Nights at Freddy's.
I knew of it. Is Five Nights at Freddy only a game, or is it a movie?
It's only a video game. Oh, and they made a few books.
They are making a movie with Chris Columbus directing, which sounds really strange.
It's gonna be called Willy Wonderland 2.
The real one.
Page Rage Revenge.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, the storyline. We want to talk about the storyline. The storyline was ridiculous. Like, the plot was ridiculous. Like, there was a lot you can like it, but there was a lot of like holes and like some of it just didn't even make sense. Like, you know, you take all that away, and you know, at the end of the day, it was just like a fun movie, which is like kind of why I watch movies. Like, we don't watch horror movies for like things to make sense because like we would never find a movie that things made sense on.
We watch it to be entertained.
It's not like highbrow. It's not like A-list highbrow entertainment. And if you go into it with slightly lowered expectations, you're going to love it. I mean, not that I consider it even lowbrow, but it's called Willy's Wonderland. You know, I mean, it has a title that sounds like a softcore porn film. Like, right. You go into it one plot.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I just watched the trailer like right before we watched it. I didn't really know anything about it too much. And so I just kind of went in it blind in a way. And I mean, I really liked it. The girls really liked it. It was a fun movie.
And then we own it now.
Well, is it a, was it PG-13? Like, it almost felt like, even if it was R, it almost felt very PG-13. You know,
I had somebody say, "You want to fuck me, fatty." I'm pretty sure it's
yeah.
Well, no, but you can say one F word, and how many other F words were in that movie? I don't know.
I don't know. I never,
there was a couple,
"Fuck me, fatty" in any PG-13.
I think with all the blood and the gore in it, plus the "fuck me, fatty" line, I think it's definitely R-rated. I'd have to look to be sure.
I mean, I think what I was going to try to get at was that this is something that I think kids would enjoy a lot too. Like, not, I mean, not kids, but like teenagers, you know, or whatever. I think they would. I almost feel like the MPAA should change their ratings a little bit, because kids are a lot different than they were, you know, years ago or whatever. I feel like kids these days.
I mean, on IMDb, it just says TVMA.
It's probably not rated then.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? What I was going to bring up this earlier, but Sam, you would probably, I think you probably appreciated the fact that the sex scene wasn't like about nudity or anything. You know, I think she even kept her shirt on the whole time. You know,
and you know, like, yeah, I definitely appreciate people that can do sex scenes without showing vagina and nipples. So thank you, Kevin. What's his name? Evan Lewis.
The actress had a no nude clause.
Okay. Is that why? Yeah, but I mean, maybe, but even then, they could have found somebody else if they had wanted the nudity, but I don't think they needed it. I mean,
it wasn't about nudity.
Right. I mean, the movie was about...
It was about killer animatronics trying to take out Nicolas Cage. I mean, that's like it.
It's all you need.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I like how he was like fazed by everything. Like, especially after the first one attacked, this is like, well, that happened. Let's get back to cleaning.
I do. I like the fact of when him and like the main character girl were fighting, and then his alarm went off and it was break time, and he just like handed her the knife, and he's like, "Well, here you go. I'll be back." And he just leaves.
I'll be back in 15.
I know.
Yeah, but it's like you can tell, like her face, like, because she didn't say anything either, really, but like her face was just like, "The fuck? Like, are you serious?"
Like, it's not even like, I don't know. It's not even like he was really. Fuck, I lost track. Never mind.
All right. But I mean, no, I think what you might have been thinking about, Derek, is like the way that Cage was, you know, talking to her, he was kind of just like, or whatever, he wasn't actually saying a word, and he did everything with his facial expressions. She got exactly what he was trying to say in those like specific things without actually saying anything, which I think is an amazing, you know, not many actors can do that, you know? I mean, I understand like Nicolas Cage has been kind of brought up as a good actor, but you see a lot of his movies, they're not very good, you know, like, and so he's probably usually the best part of whatever movie he's in, you know, even regardless of how bad it is, you know.
I love his reaction to whenever the animatronics come, because like after that, it's not like shocked, scared or anything. It's just like, well, I'm dealing with this now. Or go figures. I guess this was bound to happen. I don't know. I don't go through my day and when I see some freaky shit, be like, knew this was going to happen. Oh, well.
I'm just going to keep cleaning my shit here, you know? Like,
I just like, though, at some point where, like, he just didn't kill them all. Like, I like how he waited for them individually to, like, come after him. I was like, why not just take them all out and then carry on with your life?
I think, I mean, and maybe that goes back to the video game aspect of it, but I think the reason why that they do that, he does that is because, like, literally all he wants to do is clean. Like, you know, these are just obstacles in his way. He's not going to go and take his time away from cleaning to go kill these things, you know, even though that would be the more productive thing to do or whatever. But, and it probably would have helped everything if you had done that to start with.
Yeah. We're all on stage. Wasn't she gonna attack and then he like held her back or some shit?
Oh yeah, I vaguely remember. Yeah.
He just wanted to clean and get his car back. That's all he cared about. He just wanted his car.
Yeah, well, yeah, because she broke in because she wanted to. I mean, her in like her whole thing from the whole beginning of the movie was to burn down the whole place and kill him. So,
right, and like, and then on top of that, she wanted to do that, but then she saw Nicolas Cage in there, and her idea was, I don't want this poor guy to be murdered as well. Which, I mean, you don't know this guy. Like, I agreed with everybody else. If he didn't seem to like care that you said, you know, hey, we're about to fucking burn this place down, get out. You know, right? If he's not gonna leave with them, then that's all on him. You know what I mean? Like, I almost wouldn't have felt bad because like you gave him that option to leave. You know, I mean, what do you guys think of that? Do you think?
I mean, for all the kids, you know, knew he was in on it. I mean, he could have been in on it. Like, I guess they knew like he was, you know, a sacrifice like everybody else. But
did they though? Like, because they know all about the stuff, but they never seem to know that the town was actually sacrificing people because that's not what she talked about. She gave the bit.
Yeah.
She gave the whole bit about the town and what happened and the serial killers and all that stuff, all that background information that we needed to hear. And then the cop was the one who gave the other information, you know, kind of the cop side of like that. They were, you know, which, by the way, I loved that the sheriff was the chick from Donnie Darko. Did you guys know that? Like, that was the... That was,
yeah, she
you
was
guys
in
ever
Donnie
watched
Darko.
Donnie Darko?
She was in that.
Strangers with Candy.
I don't think so. Maybe she
was. Mostly remembered her from being the asshole teacher in Child's Play 2 that gets killed by Chucky with the yardstick.
Oh, yeah, that is that lady.
She's the one that kind of manhandles little Andy Barkley and then guess what she has coming to her? Asshole teacher. Like she's done close to like 250-300 movies. I was looking her up because I just reviewed Child's Play 2 for another show and I'm like looking her up. I'm like my God, like she's done close to 300 things. She's around.
It's funny because I reviewed The Wizard, the Nintendo movie or whatever, like that introduced Super Mario Brothers 3. And she was in that too as like the diner waitress.
She's in 233 movies.
Yeah. She's been in a lot, but yeah, she was wonderful. And her
one more movie that Brink Stevens.
Wow.
Oh wow.
I'm just saying she's been in a shitload of movies.
Yep. But yeah, so she's explaining everything to the other cop who, I mean, like I don't know, like he kind of went along with it, I guess, because that was his job.
He was new. I got it that he was new and being trained and he just really didn't know better. Like, you know?
I did like that the girl kind of convinced him, you know, or whatever, like, hey, you're kind of going along with this and you're part of the problem, not the solution here. But it didn't really matter because he was just... He was just a death fodder, you know, like, which all those characters were except for the girl, the little girl and Nick Cage. Everybody else, like, you know, either died or was, you know, supposed to die, basically, you know, like that was that was kind of the plan of the movie. It seemed kind of strange at the end that she joined Nick Cage because it almost felt like they were setting up for like a sequel where they would go off and kill other creatures.
I was a little worried Because I was like, at first I was getting a little like pedo vibe. I'm like, what's going on?
Thankfully, they didn't go that route.
They could have. I felt like there was like a fork in the road where they could have either went either way.
There was a teeter totter moment, and it was
I was like, woo, thank God.
How old?
Like, all he did was offer her an energy drink, his last one, you know.
Yeah, and that was nice, you know. But
I have a fan theory that me and my wife came up with. I mean, well, it was mostly her idea. This is actually a sequel to Mandy, and that the reason why the character doesn't talk is because it was Nicolas Cage was just playing the red character again, and his mind was so fried from the drugs and everything that he took, the psychotronic stuff in Mandy, was that his brain was fried and that he couldn't talk anymore. So that's our quote unquote fan theory.
Well, you know, this could have been a good like double feature with Mandy, you know.
If
you watch these back to back, I mean, maybe they do feel like it's sort of the same movie, because you never get the guy's name at all. You know, I don't even know what is Nick Cage like listed as in that?
Just the janitor.
Wow.
Fucking hated Mandy, man. I thought it was gonna be this epic fucking movie, and then I watched it and I'm like, well, this is kind of boring. Nothing's really happening. And then the final 20 or 15 minutes was the actual cool shit. it leaves you off being like, that was an amazing movie, but it really was like, that was an amazing final 15 minutes.
Well, see, that's the thing, like, you know, you gotta catch people in the beginning, because like people these days with so many things to stream and check out and everything, if you don't, like, you know, you don't hook them in the first like 10 minutes of the thing, or even 8 minutes, you know, or so, like people tune out, man. They're like, no, I'll do that sometimes, unless I'm reviewing something, which, you know, is most of the time now anyway, but unless I have to review it, we just reviewed a couple really terrible shark movies that were fucking 2 hours or a hour and 50 minutes long. Like, don't make movies like this that long, you know, like, it just drives me nuts. Like, I hate that.
Like, Martin Scorsese can make a movie that long. These people making killer shark movies do not need to make 2 hour, 2.5 hour killer shark movies. You know, that just does not work.
What are you guys giggling about? Come on.
No, I'm just talking shit. Okay.
Of course.
Some shitty shark movies.
All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. There you go. I know what you guys are talking about.
So, Nicolas Cage, so this movie was his 9th horror movie. Fun little fact. And Mandy's one of them. So that's why it was a good little transition.
Nice 9th horror film. You know, that includes Vampire's Kiss, right?
That's his first film. So the list is Vampire's Kiss, Wicker Man, The Bees.
Not the bees.
The bees are stinging me. Season of the Witch, Drive Angry, Pay the Ghost, Mom and Dad, Mandy, and Color Out of Space.
None of those are really horror movies except for Color Out of Space and
they're listed as it.
A couple of those I would probably contest the idea that they whether or not they're actual horror movies, but
Wicker Man, I could see that, you know.
Wicker Man, I love just the humor of it.
Right.
It's such a funny movie to watch.
I wouldn't call Vampire's Kiss a horror film, though. I'd call that more of a weird drama, a Nicolas Cage drama. It needs its own thing. He rapes somebody, I guess, but it's more like watching somebody's downfall rather than watching them.
Well, also, I feel like horror could be, I mean, horror itself is kind of a subjective word. So, I mean, you talk to 5 different people, and they might think the same movie. You know, they might not all think the same movie is horror.
Vampire's Kiss was great. I think that was my problem with Mandy. Everybody talked it up like it was going to be the ultimate Nick Cage freakout movie. Then when I saw it, I'm like, well, he didn't freak out that I thought I was just gonna be up going, you know, just like going crazy and shit. But then I'm just like, well, he's nothing's really going on, man.
Which was
the ultimate Nick Cage freakout movie is Face Off. That is that's him. That's it, him and his rage, Cage Rage best.
Right.
I think Vampire's Kiss has some really good moments in it, though. Like, I mean, just ignore the memes and just watch it as a movie. It's kind of like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
It's not as funny as people say it is, but it's got some really good freakouts.
Well, I mean, it's the only movie that has, like, if you look up Nick Cage on GIFs, like, it's the one that has, like, all the GIFs are from that movie because it's so much
crazy shit in it.
Like, I know.
The fact that he eats a real cockroach on camera for reals.
Yeah, like, that was like pre-Fear Factor days.
Well,
yeah.
My favorite part is when at the end when he thinks he's talking to a psychiatrist and then he meets a woman he loves, but then you see that he's just a crazy person on the street talking to himself. And even the woman that he falls in love with, they end up having an argument not too long afterwards, even though she's not fucking real. Like, that was a...
I don't mostly remember that movie for him running down the street with a lisp going, "I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire."
We had to watch it for Indie Film Cafe, and Paul picked it, of course, of all movies. And I thought it was going to be so boring or something for some reason, you know, and it was not boring at all. It had me from...
It's like, I killed a few people. Oh, that's okay. Oh, and I raped somebody. Oh, you know, no big deal.
I mean, I didn't see it. I've seen it not too long ago, and I remember thinking all these years that it was literally a vampire movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, you know, because I think, you know, what's funny, I always saw it as a double feature with Once Bitten, you know, that Jim Carrey vampire movie, you know, and so I've just always kind of thought that was like, it was sort of like in that vein of comedy, but it is a whole new direction of comedy.
I always thought it was more like a more maniacal version of American Psycho. Like, is the guy a killer? Yeah. Is he not a killer? Is he confessing to this? Is he not? You know.
Interesting.
That's how I feel too. I think it's more like an American Psycho. It's somebody, you see somebody who's well put together.
Dog cameo. What's up, puppy?
She's so fat.
Is that Addy?
Addy wanted to join.
All right. Hello, Addy.
Addy, what do you have to say?
Oh, Lord. So anyway, let's go back to Willy's Wonderland.
We get sidetracked very easily.
We do, but like, that's okay. We're okay with that. That's part of our...
Right. Nobody's listening right now. Nobody's listening this much anyway, so it's fine.
People who want to hear our opinions of Willy Wonderland, I think they got it.
If you are listening this far, write us a comment.
Yeah.
If you are listening this far, write us a comment and tell us what you guys think so far. Because I'd love to hear, do you guys listen to the end? I don't know. We talk
just
a lot.
Just to make sure you listen this far, write Derek's penis in the comments.
Go ahead.
I'm deliberately going to do that when the show comes out.
No, not fair. We can't cheat. Some stranger has got to write.
Not
Derek's
fair. Moody wants his penis talked about too.
No, I know. I'm fine.
Derek's Willy.
Derek's Willy.
All right, quick. Favorite Nick Cage movie?
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, God.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me, you fuckers.
Mandy.
I would say Face Off, probably.
Yeah, Mandy, and I've been talking shit about Mandy.
What's your favorite one?
I got three. Matchstick Man. Family Man, and probably Face Off.
Nobody has three Nick Cage movies.
He's been in some good ass man.
He's been in so many. Well, actually, nobody said Valley Girl, which I'm surprised. Wasn't he in that? If I'm correct,
that was one of his first ones.
Yeah, and Raising Arizona, he was fucking fantastic in that. So I mean, he's done.
It's all about bringing out the dead and the Family Man, the Christmas movie where he falls in love.
Aww. And you're saying that while you pat your dog.
Yeah, mine's got to either be Mandy or Face Off. It depends on which day you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And The Rock. I can't forget The Rock. Holy fuck, The Rock is pretty dope. Probably 290s by today, but.
You know, National Treasures really aren't all that bad either. You know, they're good for Disney-style action flicks.
I love the memes, though. Like, anytime somebody says, like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're still in the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Don't forget Leaving Las Vegas, that probably every, like, even though that's, like, a really, like, fucked up, like, dramatic role for him, you know? Like that, a lot of people really love that movie for like the message, I guess, you know, about alcoholism.
A really good one. I mean, really good and often overlooked is Wild at Heart.
Oh, is that
David Lynch?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. David Lynch.
Yeah, nice. That was the first movie I really like. Not the first Nicolas Cage movie I seen, but it's like the first movie I remember seeing with him where I like took notice. I was like, okay, this guy's got the goods.
Oh my God! Do you guys remember that Nicolas Cage movie, Trapped in Paradise, where they like it was him, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey?
Dana Carvey.
Yeah, as the like they were like robbing a bank in the snow.
I forgot about Con Air. I really like Con Air.
Oh yeah,
Con Air is like pretty good.
Maybe it's like whenever it comes on, I can watch it.
8mm. I love that one.
I'm like Googling it because I'm like, I can't even remember all the Nick Cage movies there are.
Is that too much shit? Like, if you look at it, it's like, especially in the 90s, it's just like good movie, good movie, good movie, good movie, good movie, 2000 shit movie, shit movie, shit movie, good movie.
Adaptation. That was a pretty damn good movie. I like that
any
movie.
Any of y'all remember one called Red Rock West?
I remember the title. I don't think I ever watched it.
Dennis Hopper.
I love looking at his IMDb. I completely forgot when he played Fu Manchu. That was fucking hilarious now that I remember it.
The werewolf
woman of the SS from the Grindhouse.
We just watched that. I don't remember him in it.
Yeah, it was you have to see it in the theater. They had like big trailers and movies. They didn't have it. I don't know. Do they have like the Grindhouse put together movie already? That was dope.
He was also in a movie called Honeymoon in Vegas that I remember having on like Betamax, you know, it was him and like Sarah Jessica Parker as like newlyweds or whatever. And like fucking Miyagi was in it. Oh my goodness. It is such a strange, like he's been like his career. You're right, Derek. He kind of goes like, you know, shitty, 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 good movie. Shitty, 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 good. You know, sounds like a train. Shitty, shitty, shitty.
Shitty, shitty.
Right, let's just go. Good. Shitty, 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 good. Shitty, good. Shitty, good. Shitty, good. Shitty, shitty, good. Shitty, 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 good.
All right, we get it.
Yeah. Oh shit. Oh, okay. Anyway,
now we've lost our three people. We've lost them. Gone.
And one of them's Nicolas Cage. Like, how dare you?
There was at least one more shitty movie in that list. How dare you get it wrong?
Yeah. Everybody knows I've been in more good movies.
He's like just sitting there going, "What? You didn't like The Croods?"
That's a pretty good impersonation.
Hey, that was actually on the shitty list.
Yeah.
I only get one good impersonation in a month. That's it. That's all I get.
Was it?
Yeah, that's fine. Never always stop well before we get too far ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
You get too cocky.
So speaking of Willies, getting too cocky.
What? This is a good
thing. Willies, put yours away.
All right. So are we gonna do our rating now, or do you want to do it in a little bit?
I mean, what more can we say? I think we're done, right?
I think we reviewed it.
Wonderland this whole time. Don't worry, we talked about it for a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it, and then we talked about all of his other movies.
Talk more just about Cage Rage in general.
Yeah, but that's like every cast about Willy's Wonderland. They start talking about it, and then they just go off on tangent about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, what else? What else are you going to do? You know? Right. I mean, really, like, we talked about Willy's Wonderland, like, you know, a good amount. We mentioned pretty much everything that
It's fun to say. Willy's Wonderland is just fun to say.
Though I do, like, one of my favorite scenes in that movie was when he was handcuffed and beat the shit out of everybody still.
I think one thing we got to mention... One thing we got to mention, though, is Grant Kramer. This movie has been described as Pale Rider meets Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and Grant Kramer played the human version of Willy, who was one of the producers and was also the star of Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So that definitely, I needed to mention that because we glossed over that with Nicolas Cage.
That was the director's favorite movie, right? Didn't I read that somewhere?
I read that somewhere too.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool that he did that little like ode to his favorite movie.
Yeah.
We just talked about Moody. Didn't we do a podcast on Killer Clowns?
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, because I remember my girls fell asleep. They weren't impressed. They were not impressed by that movie.
and the funny thing about that is I think it's not a movie made for this generation, you know, or whatever, but it's definitely a movie made for our generation.
It just made me hungry. I just wanted cotton candy the whole time I watched it.
I just wanted brain juice. Sweet, glorious purple.
I bring everything back to food. I'm like, I just want to eat.
I just wanted a bunch of cotton candy and popcorn when I watched that.
Right? Oh, I want it now again. That sounds good.
So all right. Well, I guess we'll do our ratings right now. Addie, what do you what's your rating?
Yay. Can you make high five?
She's gonna lick you all over.
Addie gives it two paws.
Two paws
up. All right, we're doing the grade like A through F, you know. I don't think have we given anything an F?
No, I don't think so. It takes a lot to get an F.
Yeah, even Wrong Turn didn't get an F, like the new Wrong
Turn. I think of one movie that I've watched that would be an F.
No, I don't think it got, I think it got D's. You know, I don't think.
Yeah, I hated that movie.
I gave it double D's.
Womp womp.
Thank you.
I pick up what you're throwing down.
I can't remember a movie that I've hated recently. Because I know there's some.
The Unholy.
Oh, yeah, The Unholy.
Saw 3D.
Have you guys seen The Unholy?
Is that the new one with Negan?
Yes.
I wanted to, but I heard it was so bad. I was just like, I'm not paying.
It could have been good. If you do see it, we'll have to talk about it. Because it could have been good, but there was like these certain things that just, it just ruined it.
It's got a great cast, and it was just like one of those like, oh man, I'm not going to spend $20 to rent this right
Negan,
now.
Negan, though, phenomenal actor. Like, I mean, he was great. I mean, he's great in everything I've seen, but yeah, he was really good. But even he couldn't save it.
Wasn't Cary Elwes in that too?
Oh yes, fat, and he's not Fat Cary. Like we call him Fat Cary in one of the Saw movies. We're like, oh, that's Fat Cary.
Oh yeah, because you see his like they flash back, and then out of nowhere he just like gains like 50 pounds out of nowhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like, it's Fat Cary. It's
so fucking hilarious.
But this Cary in that movie is like cosmetic surgery Cary, because like he's done something with his face.
So far, the movies we saw this year that sucked are horror. The Conjuring, The Retreat, Aquarium of the Dead, Spiral. These are just things that we give like
Wait. Has anybody seen Aquarium of the Dead?
No, but isn't that Asylum? No.
Yeah, it's with Vivica Fox. I saw the trailer for it. I want to see it so bad. The
trailer looks so amazing. It's not.
it's an Asylum movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's The Unholy sucked. Jacob's Wife was a 5 out of 10. Wrong Turn, we gave a bad rating. The Devil Below, we gave a bad rating. Movies we love this year seem to be Willy's Wonderland, Shook.
I don't even remember some of these.
Army of the Dead, for me at least. I fucking loved Army of the Dead.
Mm, I was kind of meh on that.
I was bored. I played on my phone.
I gave it a straight 10 out of 10.
It could have been 45 minutes shorter, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was bored. I was like, there was parts that, like, I was like, ooh, but then, I mean, yeah, I think it was just because it was too long and there was a lot of, like, filler crap, but I was like, I don't care about that.
Something about it, it hit every mark for me just perfectly. Like, I gave it a perfect score. Like, and I hardly do that. There might be, like, maybe 5 movies I give a. But, you know, it all depends on how I feel at the time. When I was watching it, it felt like the perfect movie at the time.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's honestly, it's been very hard for me to, like, sit down and just watch something unless I'm, like, reviewing it, because I'm generally reviewing something. You know what I mean? So I have to watch that movie. You know, I have to put that as a priority. So I watch more TV shows that are only, like, a half hour to an hour long than, you know, than I watch movies these days. But I do really want to watch Army of the Dead at some point, because I just, you know, I've heard so many different reviews. Like, just right now, to hearing Cameron say something and hearing Sam say something, and Derek, you guys all have conflicting, you know, opinions on it, and everybody else seems to have the same thing. So it's interesting. Maybe I'll be one of your guys. Maybe I'll be a completely different thing, you know, like
it, realize in 10 minutes if you'll like it or not. I fucking love it from the very beginning, how they showed the apocalypse happen with the music that was playing. I was like, oh yes, I'm all in.
I thought it was over. I thought after that little ending he described, I was like, well, that seemed like the whole movie. Are we done?
I could have liked it better if it hadn't ripped off Aliens every step of the way. I probably would have liked it better. I mean, let me preface that by saying it's a good movie. It's just not a great movie. You know what I mean? It's like the difference between being good and great. 45 minutes too long, and
it was really long. How long was the movie?
It was like 2 hours, 30 minutes or something.
What? Oh, Jesus Christ. 2.5 hours long.
We all know Zack Snyder doesn't have an editor. He doesn't. He doesn't edit out anything. He leaves nothing on the cutting room floor.
Oh, my God.
Didn't we watch it in 2 days? So my attention span, yeah, we had to split it in 2 days. That's how long it was.
I love it. Like,
so can we be expecting the weeding cut of this, like, at some point?
I understand why people don't like it, but just for me, like, it was just perfect for the time. Like, I was right. Like, it's a zombie movie I absolutely needed to see, just because of the. Just to me, the whole zombie genre has been bogged down with stinkers, like nonstop horrible movies. So it just reinvigorated that love for me for zombies again.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not a big zombie fan, like, period, but I'll watch zombie movies. My favorite zombie movie, honestly, is Return of the Living Dead, you know. But aside from that, I'm just not, you know, I'm not really into zombies. You know, it's kind of boring, you know, like a bunch of things that bite you, you know, like, I don't know, not into them.
Sounds like a good night to me.
There you go.
I like a biter.
All right. So I'm going to start off, and I'm going to give Willy's Wonderland an A+. Honestly, it's probably, Cameron and I were talking earlier before the show, and we both had said this is, like, probably, I mean, I'm not going to speak for you, Cameron, so if you've changed your mind or whatever, but, you know, this, like, my favorite movie of 2000 and was it 2020 that it came out?
It was released in 21. Well, that's what IMDb says.
Yeah, I thought it was released in January or February.
Yeah, I think it was February.
So it's the best movie of this year that I've seen. But once again, I haven't seen all those movies you guys have. So I don't know if something might, I mean, I don't know. I may like the Conjuring movie more than you guys did, you know.
It was the Conjuring was definitely better than the second one. I will give it that. I feel like it was better than the second one is pretty much the first one.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I thought it was boring, the Conjuring.
I remember this Conjuring 2 as just being unmemorable. You know, like there was nothing. The first Conjuring had so many cool stuff in it that I remember. The second one just was like, meh, you know? And so, yeah. And that's, and I hate to say it, I feel like that's become like the James Wan thing of like, you know, his universe, you know, with like The Nun and all La Llorona. I hated that movie. Honestly, I was so bored by it, you know.
I never finished that. Never could finish that.
I never finished it.
It's weird how they're making it like a Marvel universe and like Edward or whatever the fuck their name is, Lauren Bobbitt or whatever the fuck. They're like the superheroes on it. And I can't stand, like, especially this new one. They make it so clear that they want to be Marvel because they're just like the, like, they're literally superheroes in this third one. The superheroes of the paranormal.
Which,
and it's pretty bad.
And they were based, it's based on, you know, true stories or whatever.
There's the funny part. The first one, they say it's based on a true story, but if you ever follow that case, fucking the main guy who supposedly was so happy to get his wife back, he fucking punched Ed in the face and fucking called them hacks and told them to get off their property. And that was like before the actual, what was it called? The exorcism. The real life version. So like, I don't know. I like looking stuff up on them. Like it's funny to see like, are they...
You got to take all that true story stuff with a grain of salt. I mean, it might be like based off the idea of a true story, but like, I'm sure 5% of what really happened ended up on the screen.
Yeah, nothing in this film. Like, there might have been a court case, but that's probably about it. Like, nothing in this film is real.
Yeah.
It's so goddamn, like, over the top. They went super over the top. See, the ghost movies I love are the where it starts off slow and then it gets progressively worse. These fucking Conjuring movies, they're just like, fuck subtlety, let's just the one thing I hate is like that half the demons, like they show up behind you when you're not looking, and when you look, they disappear. That makes no sense. Like, so what the fuck was even the point? Like, I don't know. I guess there's just like things they ghosts do which make no sense. He's like, if I was looking at somebody and they turn, I want to stay there and be like, yeah, that's right, I'm looking at you, bitch.
Not, right, so, right.
It's like I was never here.
All right, so let's, I guess, what are you guys, I guess go to Cameron. Cameron, what's your grading of this?
I'm with you with the A+. I haven't changed my mind about this movie at all. It's everything I wanted. I went into it knowing very little other than what the trailer had given me. I love it. It's got Nicolas Cage. He's one of my, you know, top two favorite actors. You know, it's got it's got everything I wanted in it. It's got animatronics. It's got blood and gore. It's craziness. A+ all the way. Best movie of 2021 thus far. That might change by the end of this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still remains to be seen.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, what about you, Sam?
I'm gonna give it B+.
B+? Okay.
As the we own it. We'll watch it. I mean, I give it a B+. So it's one of those movies that, you know how there's certain movies that you can watch over and over again. And then there's certain movies where like you can watch once, like you still like it, but you only really need to watch it once. So we haven't only watched it once. I don't know. I need to watch it again to see if it's like one of those movies that like I can watch again. Cause I don't know.
Yeah. What about you, Derek?
I'm actually giving it the lowest. I give it like a 3 out of 5. So I guess a C.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a C. I think it was good, but I felt like it didn't quite get there. And it felt like maybe there wasn't enough footage because, like, during the fighting scenes, the editing seemed really wonky and the way it was shot seemed really wonky. I think maybe it was a mixture of not having the right effects, you know, not having the money for the right effects or not knowing how to pull it off. But, like, just the fight, like, it would have been a lot better if the fighting scenes weren't so wonky, in my opinion. It left a lot to be desired.
All right. Well, that's fair. I think I saw your review on Letterboxd. So I saw that you had put down 3 out of 5, you know.
Yeah. So he's consistent.
Yeah, he's consistent. I had a feeling that that's what you were going to say too. And I think your response was like, it was okay, you know, that kind of thing. So like, it wasn't anything to like, you know, cry home about or whatever. I think I was texting Sam while I was watching this going, I really enjoyed it. I mean, like throughout the whole thing, it was just a fun movie. Like, and I think that's what I look for these days. I don't look for something that's going to like make me like, grow or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking for,
looking for something that's going to make you want to change religions.
Right.
I don't think I've ever watched a horror movie wanting to grow from it.
You know what? If somebody could do that, I would support that in one second. If somebody can make,
you know, it's funny, like as we're like writing our own movies, I'm sure we can all attest to this. It's like you write something and it's like, okay, well, I mean, I really want to keep it. It doesn't necessarily make sense. I can't really tie it back to anything. And then you're like, oh, fuck it. All the other movies do it. We're going to do it too.
Well, as long as like that's, you know, that's, oh, like as long as you don't keep doing that. Like we watched a movie the other day, and it had Gary Busey in it. I watched it the same day I watched this one, and it literally the whole time we were talking about it on IFC, it had so many scenes that made no sense for the rest of the movie. You know, like it completely like just it was just filler. You know, to get to the next from A to B, that was it. Willy's Wonderland, I can tell you that movie did not have any filler. Every scene was set up to be a part of what's going on in the movie. You know, like every scene seemed to be, you know, like makes sense for the rest of the movie or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so, even if it's as simple as just having characters literally come in, that there's no character development, just to kill.
Right.
I mean, I feel like that's what made, you know, the main group of those like teenagers were like, they were literally just.
Well, no, but like, so, you know, but also I guess it set up the girl. I mean, she could have somehow gotten free from the handcuffs and still went back out to go, you know what I mean? Which I'm like, who leaves their, the only thing I have a question now about is who leaves the girl in a handcuffs for like the whole day?
Probably the same sheriff that's okay with killing innocent people to keep animatronic animals from killing other people.
I know, but
right. Like, making a deal with the town, like, yeah, leave our town alone, but you know, you can kill strangers all you
want. Exactly. Like, she's not the greatest person in the world.
Well, she's not.
And she also, like, you know, abused Andy Barkley, so fuck her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but see, what I did like about her was that there was a little bit of, like, you know, she had some sympathy for that girl, that one little girl, she had sympathy for her, so she wanted to keep her alive. That's the main reason she, you know, basically you know, handcuffed her.
Was her to character keep her was alive. Dumb though, because honestly, like, when she discovered that Nick Cage was killing everybody, like at that point she could have been like, oh well, he can do this and save and free us all, but no, like, she didn't want to go that way. Like, she wanted him to die and then them to carry on their stupid plan.
Right. But see, here's the thing, I think in her mind, wow, we're still doing the review of Willy's Wonderland.
This happens.
But you know, the funny thing about it is, like, I think what she was thinking was, like, if he fucked up and then Willy kills this guy, you know, but she let him do that.
I get that, but like, at this point, he already killed, like, pretty much all of the thing. So, I mean, clearly.
Willy was the tough one. Like, Willy was.
Yeah, he fucked up in this case.
I'm just saying, like, he I feel like at that end, like, he had already killed all of them almost. So, I mean, that was one of the plot holes that I was like, oh, I don't, you know, it was hard for me to buy.
Right. I mean, I guess. I mean, she just wanted to make sure that he died so that they could keep doing this thing. And if he did keep killing all
those
things.
Well, there was a side. She picked the wrong side. She should have picked Cage's side.
Maybe she
wouldn't have died. But, I feel like I was happy to see her die.
Yeah, I didn't understand why the fuck they acted the way they did. Because, Like, wasn't Cage doing exactly what they needed to do to save the town? Like, why would she go in and stop that? Either he's going to kill Cage, and then, boom, y'all are okay until y'all get the next person to come by, or Cage is going to kill them all. You don't have to fucking tie him
up. Well, I don't think I don't think him killing them was ever an idea. Like, I don't think they thought that that would ever happen.
Yeah, because...
But after, like, killing them all, though, they should have been like, oh, well, maybe this is the guy that can save us instead of, like, you know, trying to kill him.
Was it like... at the end of the movie, they have those two characters that give them the keys back or whatever, and they both look at each other like, oh shit, it's done, you know? So really, like, they should have, the sheriff should have thought that, like, oh shit, he's fucking kicking these guys' ass, killing them all, you know?
The owner with the fake mustache, god, that guy. I couldn't stop looking at his fake stash.
Oh, Tex, no, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
It was like, is it supposed to be like that? Like, did they do that on purpose?
Probably.
Like, I think it must have been.
Because it was a little bit campy. I mean,
yeah.
Also, maybe because he's not really like kind of who he says he is, you know? So he's got to put on this, like, you know, kind of fake persona. So maybe that was his version. It would have been funnier if he ripped it off at the end and was like, I don't need this shit anymore. You know, right? Like, you know, right. I'm not this guy anymore. But then they get killed at the end by the girl. So she's still alive and around. So they could make a Willy's Wonderland too. You know, yeah. Like, right?
I don't know. I mean, the way that thing exploded, it sent her flying back in pieces. I don't know. She might have lived through that.
I don't know. But, maybe.
You know, it was would fun. It have set Willy's Wonderland on fire since the place was already soaked in gasoline? So did Willy's Wonderland burn down after that?
She's currently working in a gentleman's club in a small, small town.
Saying, fuck me, you want to fuck me, fatty?
she's stripping happy. Somewhere in Little Rock, Arkansas.
She's happy now.
Oh, Lord. Well, geez, we've talked for an hour on this. So do we have any updates or anything that's going on? I know you, Sam, got something that you want to talk to us about. Really? I thought the snow was something you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're I'm like, do I? yeah, so we're doing a lot of pre-production stuff for, you know, stupid COVID. A lot of pre-production stuff for my girlfriend. So we're shooting our opening scene very shortly, which we have Rebecca Reinhart really going to be in it. So that'll be fun. But yeah, so it's a winter scene in the middle of summer. You know, and we're doing it because we don't really, that's still better than actually shooting in the dead of winter in the Midwest. So. Uh-huh. You know, we've had a lot of negative comments, like, about, like, oh, well, snow, you know, fake snow is too expensive, or it's too hard to clean up. And I'm just like, I mean, not really, but, like, we want to do it, so we're going to find a way to do it. So that's what we're doing. We're testing a few, you know, earth-friendly methods. We don't want to, like, kill animals or our land. You know, we're doing it, like, at our house, so.
We'll do anything besides shoot in winter.
Right? And I want an authentic feel. So in my head, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so our winters are pretty harsh. And, you know, when I think of winter, I think of snow. So we're doing it and we'll figure it out.
See, I'm a Texan. So the way I see it is we never get snow, but it's like in movies, as long as we see snow somewhere on the ground, it's winter.
And see, I want winter wonderland snow. Like, I want snow everywhere because, you know, I have that, you know, you have a vision of something and it's hard to, like, it's hard to be talked out of your vision when you see something.
Right. Totally.
We're going to do it. Dang it. It's going to happen.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's your movie. Do it the way you fucking want.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Also, we've gotten a lot of
speaking for somebody who is shot. I'm speaking for somebody who was shot in Midwest winters three times. Yeah, I was insane. Every single one of those times, I'll never do it again. Never.
I know you think it'll be cool until you do it. And then you're like, I mean, not only that, sometimes you just have equipment issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that factor into it. And it's like, ooh, and you know, then it's just like cold and wet and not fun.
Yeah. So if you do it in the summer, it's hot, but you're pretending to be cold. That's called acting. you know?
Exactly. And we could even do a little, you know, CGI breath and, you know, make her nose a little red. Like, I mean, it'll be fine.
So is the whole movie set during Christmas or just a little bit, like a little part of it?
It'll be, it's going to be all set. I don't want to say it's going to be set in Christmas, but it will be set in winter.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's cool. You know, yeah. that's a neat little
thing. We actually, our new official poster will be coming out very soon. We have a nice, I'm not doing it because, you know, you can't do your own stuff. Like I tried to do it, but I can't do my own poster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like making my reel. Like I made other people's reels. I made them look really good, but when it comes to making my own, fuck, I can't do it.
Yeah, I've tried. I just can't. I don't think I can do justice.
Because you need to kind of step back and because you're a little too attached to it, you know, that kind of thing. Like if you step,
that's not the reason why I hate everything I do.
I
don't hate everything. I really like most things I do, but yeah, I'm too attached. I can't see it, you know, from a different perspective. So plus, like, it's kind of gross because like I'm on it. I mean, not my, you know, it's like a caricature of me. So I'm like, ew, like I can't like do myself. Like that's so weird.
Yeah, that feels weird to like. Yeah, no,
you
I
can't do it. Yeah.
So there,
you know, being a woman, it's like you don't like anything about yourself. So it's like I can't do it. I need somebody else to be objective about it because I can't be objective at all.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So that'll be released soon. So, you know, we got a lot of backlash about like, oh, are you going to ever make your movie? And it's like, I mean, you know, COVID happened and we wanted to make sure everybody was safe. And then there was a lot of location issues due to COVID. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that factored into it. And at the end of the day, like Cameron said, it's our movie and we'll do what we want to do.
My favorite is the people
making the movie to make it.
You
got to be happy with your movie first and foremost.
Exactly.
If you're not happy with it, it's going to come through on the film and everybody else will see that. You
exactly.
Make it the movie the way you want to fucking make it.
Period. Yeah, and I'm not making a movie. I mean, while I am making a movie for other people, I'm not making a movie for other people's validation. Like, I'm making a movie for me to be proud of it and to be happy with it. So at the end of the day, like, you know, like you said, like that's what matters. So, and plus we kind of owe it to people. I mean, it sounds so like ew to say that, but you know, like we built it up a lot. We crowdfunded a lot of other people, put a lot of work into this, time, blood and effort. And it's, we owe it to a lot of people to like do the best that we can.
Yep. I know. I agree. And you guys are still doing it. Like a lot of people would just give up and say, fuck it, you know, COVID happened, or, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that, or I can't shoot in the summer or in the snow, or, you know, in the summer for snow. So I'm just going to wait till later. And then when it gets to later, oh, I can't shoot in this fucking, all this fucking snow in store. You know what I mean? Like there's always going to be an excuse. So as long as people are actually still putting the, you know, foot forward, as long as it gets done at the end of the day, you know, when it gets done the right way and the way that you want it done, you know, I think that's much better than, you know, just waiting for whatever, you know, or not.
Right. Or just pushing out crap just to push out. Like, we're not like that either. We're just like, oh, we got to hurry up and get a movie out. Like, no.
Yeah, there's a few of that out there. You know, I feel like a lot of people just make a movie because like, it's easy to just say, I'm going to go make a movie for, you know, $5,000 or less. And it's not very good, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to say, I'm going to go to the cornfield and bring a puppet and have fun.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just, yeah, it's easy to be addicted to announcing things, you know, which a lot of people announce trying to save us. A lot of people just like to announce projects and, you know, get the attention and stuff from just that, and then it's like, you know, a year later you're like, whatever happened to the five things that you just said?
Forget it, doing? I have a new announcement.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
Some people make movies, other people make excuses.
Exactly.
You know, I like ways that I live by.
Other people make posters.
Yep. Well, I want to thank you guys.
Cameron, Moody.
What? Hey,
shut
stop
up.
That.
Shut your face, Moody. I see your face.
Cameron, what have you been up to lately?
Well, just making episodes of Cinema Degeneration. I'm re-recording one here in about 2 hours tonight for a show I do called Sequel to Deja Vu.
Nice.
We shoot the first half of a movie that I've been helping with the production of called Parallels. We're shooting the first half of that in about 2 weeks. We'll be shooting in Indianapolis for about 5 days. Then coming up in July, we shoot the second half of it in Nashville, which will be fun. I haven't been to Nashville in about 5 years. But that's about it. I've just been doing shows left and right, just past our 55th episode of Cinema Degeneration.
Wow, congratulations. And,
thank you. My aim was to do 50 episodes in 1 year or to get 1,000 downloads. So in 1 year's time, I hit 974 downloads and 55 episodes. So
nice.
Made one, almost made the other. So I consider it a positive achievement. And I'm working on my first graphic novel too, which I'm kind of keeping a little bit secretive until I can announce it, until I got the money to actually put into the production to have the artwork done. I don't want to announce it.
No one's listening.
I was gonna say, worry, it still will be secretive.
Yeah. You can tell us everything about it. Nobody's listening.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm probably turning my death care script, since it has a troubled production. We tried raising the money for it, failed on several levels, trying to crowdfund and trying to get private investors. I almost said private investigators. So my next idea was, since I was working on a book anyway, a book of short stories, since I had my heart attack a couple of years ago, my wife suggested, she's like, why don't you turn it into a graphic novel? You love comics. And so I found a artist out of Indianapolis who he hasn't signed a contract yet, but he's done some preliminary promo art kind of character sketches and whatnot, which I really love. I fell in love with, as soon as he drew me into the main character of Caleb, I saw that and was just like, oh, yes. But I'm just not announcing it anywhere online until we get people's names signed on the dotted line. So that's why I'm not mentioning any names, but we're turning it into a graphic novel. So it'll at least be seen. And, you know, it's like, okay, it's like I tried for 2 years trying to get it made. And it's like, you know, raising the money to shoot a movie is one thing, but raising the money to make a comic book is a smidge easier. So that's what I'm going.
Is it? I mean, I don't know, cause I haven't really produced a comic yet or anything, but is it much easier to get the funding for that?
It's a lot cheaper. I found it's a lot cheaper to, you know, pay someone, and a lot easier, you know, to be quite honest, when you're in a band, which I was in my teens, and when, you know, you have to rely on a big group of people to make shit happen, to put out an album, to record, you got to rely on 5-6 other people. And while making a movie, you got to rely on a whole bunch more people.
Right.
And without naming names, I've been let down by a few people, you know, as we all probably have in the business, you know, and I mean, sometimes people just don't pull their weight and they let you down. And I don't want to let any people down on my end. And I want the project to come out. So there's been a lot of people that have believed in me and believed in the Death Care project. And I want to see it come to some sort of fruition, even if it's not as a movie. Even if it's as a graphic novel, these people will get to read it and see it and hold it in their hand. So, like, I figured, you know, if I can make that happen, you know, that's my big goal for this year. It's by the end of this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how that pans out, Cameron.
Well, as I'm gonna, I'm talking to a few of the actors that were involved to license their image. So they will still technically, you know, in air quotes, you know, people will not be seeing this, but I'm doing it for you three to see. So technically they will still be in the movie.
Well, I do love,
it's pretty much done.
I do love graphic novels and comics, so I'll definitely be one of the people reading it.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out too.
I got a thing over there for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman.
Yep. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been working on. And I have a short film that I shot back in February that my wife is editing on, because I am a horrible editor. And she's much better than I am on every level. So hopefully that will be ready to put out here very soon as well.
Nice.
Well, good luck, man. I look forward to hearing more about that stuff, dude. you know, we're going to be doing some Supernatural Assassins comics at some point, you know, so Lucas and Olivia will have our, you know.
That's me kicking.
That was you kicking.
Yeah. Can we edit out my grunt? I'm trying to get back in shape. I'm trying to get all that quarantine laid off.
Seems like that seems to be the thing. I don't know. I've been lazy enough. Like I was like, I get all hyped up and ready to go do shit. And then later I just totally have no ambition to like work out, you know, or whatever. And it sucks. Right.
I'm into fitness. I'm into fitness a lot. Fitness whole pizza in my mouth.
Right. I want pizza so bad. I mean, I just have to be a believable serial killer. So, you know, I'm sorry. I might have to change the title, but like, plus my super size ex-girlfriend. Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
What was it? I saw somebody say, I was in the fitness protection, like, you know, the witness protection. They're in the fitness protection. So they're not going to the gym.
It's still dangerous out there, man. You gotta be safe.
I know. Oh Lord. I see so many people go to the gym complain. You know, either way, either they're complaining about the masks and stuff, or they're complaining that they're not wearing the mask. You know what I mean? Like either way, they're complaining about the gym, and I'm like, if you go to the gym, just enjoy yourself, like working out.
Like
who goes to the gym and doesn't complain except me?
I know, right?
Dwayne Johnson is probably like the one person, you know. The Rock is probably the only guy that doesn't complain about going to the gym.
And my thing's not working out. I could work out, like, you know, I mean I do work out pretty much every day. My problem is, you know, just eating that whole pizza. You know, that's the problem.
Right.
For sure.
I mean, I'm ripped under a lot of this fat. Like, I've got muscles. I just gotta, you know, get it off.
Alrighty then. Well, is there anything else we need to discuss? I know, so like I said in the earlier of the show, we are planning to do more newer stuff starting in July. So yeah. I think
it's not our fault, it's the movie people's fault.
No, it's partially, I think we should have, I don't know if Derek never mentioned it before of doing something newer, but Derek mentioned it this time of doing something newer, and he was right.
I always mentioned we should do new stuff. It's the most relevant.
It's just, he's got that monotone voice. So like after a minute, you just stop listening.
That sounds about right with your marriage, right?
Everybody, if anybody's listening, they're like, oh yeah, he does. I've had so many people like be like, your husband sounds like an asshole. But it's like, you know, then they meet him and they're like, oh, he's not an asshole. He just sounds like an asshole.
Yeah. I met up with somebody who wanted to hire me for something. And he was like, straight up, I thought you were an asshole, but being you in person, I can tell it's just the way you talk.
Yeah, so he's not, you know, he just comes off as an asshole.
I like, so does that mean I'm still an asshole? No, he's just like the way your mannerism and movement, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited. We've got Indie Film Cafe Network has a lot of stuff going on right now. So we got a lot of shows. Cameron's been a part of a couple things that we've been doing. And actually, Cameron, you're going to be hopefully helping us out with a project, like a review show at some point.
For fall time.
For fall time. So thank you.
I got some ideas brewing.
Yeah, so we really appreciate that. We appreciate all the people checking out Indie Film Cafe Network. Our buddy Don Anelli has been posting, you know, like helping us all out, you know, posting these things. So we really want to give a shout out to him.
He's awesome. He is a promotions powerhouse.
Yeah, he definitely is. And we really appreciate everybody, period, who's been promoting or helping out. We have a Facebook page, Horror, Blood, and Coffee. We'll try to update it a little bit more. Since we've taken the break, we definitely
I get on kicks. Like I'll go in like month kicks of like doing stuff, and then I take like, you know, a couple months off.
Well, we've got a new social media intern who's going to hopefully be posting a lot more stuff on there too herself as well. So hopefully we'll, you know, but
it's not random.
Or anybody else that we've had, or anybody else we've had, you know, doing it, because it seems that she seems to be like doing pretty well. You know, if I kind of ask her to do something, she's very happy to get it done, you know. And that's sort of, remember, that was our problem with Brandon. Just asking him to do stuff sometimes.
It's hard to get his wheels turning. Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Is it funny because he's on a wheelchair?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
I mean, funnier if you wouldn't have said that. All right, now we got to edit this part out, too.
Now Cameron knows.
I was just like, because, yeah, at first I was just like, I don't get it. Now I get it.
I like to put it in your jib there. So I don't care.
We're not editing any of this out, by the way.
Never do. It's fine.
You're grunt a lot stage. Worse. Your grunt stays in. It's all good. You know,
we've said a lot worse. So. Yeah.
But the funny thing is we say it at the end when nobody's listening.
Thank God.
Quick. Who's the worst indie filmmaker that you know?
Stop.
Oh, I can't answer this.
Dustin Ferguson. I was so angry, man. I went to Walmart yesterday or 2 days ago, and I saw a Dustin Ferguson movie at Walmart.
Yep. I bought it.
Why would you support him?
Because I wanted to see the trash. You know, because I'm going to review it at some point.
Just buy him a beer.
I mean, the reviews are pretty much like all his other movies from what I've read. They're like, there's a lot of walking. There's no sharks. What's going on?
Wait, dare I ask which movie this was?
Apex Predator.
AKA Jaws of Los Angeles.
Yeah, like you go to the movie theaters, and I mean, not the movie, but they have it right Walmart. There, but then you look at the reviews, and it's just like, they're just talking about how it's a bunch of walking. It's like, yeah that's like all those other films.
Yeah,
I can't forgive somebody who made Nemesis 5.
I saw one of his films. You see this guy literally waking up from his alarm clock. You see him brushing his teeth for 2 whole minutes. You see him then get dressed entirely, how long that takes. Then you see him walk out his house, and then you see him walk for 10 minutes. And that's literally the first 20 minutes of one of his films.
Ooh.
Like, are you
riveting?
He just filmed in like a week, like literally, like he was.
Not so even happy. A week, not even a week, like 3 or 4 days.
I meant to say weekend. Sorry.
Weekend. It's a weekend, like a long weekend.
Yeah, 2 days. Like, I was shocked. This one guy wants to hire me for 5 days for a feature. And I'm like, I can't do that. He's like, well, we just did our last one in 3 days. And I'm like, I could do it.
You're like, I'll take your money, but I don't really want my name attached to garbage.
Yeah.
Has Alan Smithy ever been used for camera work, I wonder?
It's D-Man Johnson III. It's a bigger IMDb page than most actors, and that's where. Well, what's sad though is like half my shit goes to both names, so it doesn't matter anymore. I should have started with the stage name like Big Dick Johnson.
Yeah, because that doesn't sound like a stage name at all.
Like, who shot this movie? That's Big Dick Johnson. One of my films that I recently shot, it just got it's about to get released, called Peoria TV Show. What's funny about that is they had some reshoots while I was shooting a zombie movie, so I couldn't be there. So they hired somebody who was way cheaper than me, and they rented the same gear as me. And the director was like, "Man, fucking never again!" Like, Like, he realized that it's not the gear that makes a good artist. It's the fucking experience.
No, exactly. Well,
somebody that knows how to use the gear, you can have the best camera in the world, but if you don't know how to set it up.
He said he regretted not waiting. He said he wished he would have pushed it back just so
I if you don't know about like this thing called exposure or focus.
Oh my god. So I let this one dude borrow my camera.
Same guy, right?
All the shots were overexposed and everything was out of focus.
And it's only funny. I think we're only talking about it because Derek asked the guy if he wanted like a rundown of how to use it. And the guy was so arrogant and cocky about it. And was like, no, like, yeah, I know how to use a camera. And then all of his stuff was so shitty. It was hilarious. The only reason why we want to talk crap about it is because, like, you know, there's also a lot of those arrogant a-holes out there that, like, you try to help, that don't want your help, and then they just suck anyways. And it's like, well, I mean, maybe you should have taken some help.
Yeah, I legit was like, do you need a rundown on how to use it? No, I know how to use a camera. And I got... And so I was able to look at all the footage because I gave him a hard drive and he didn't wipe it. So I looked at everything he shot and I was just like, wow, this is
God. Yeah, I tried to fix some stuff in Photoshop and it was like, it was really hard.
I'm very excited to be going back to the theaters in July to make sure that we watch these movies and everything.
We'll do a list of like our, you know, the ones that we're going to be doing soon for y'all.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, I got a couple that I think we're pretty much going to watch, but even if we don't end up actually doing a full review of it, it'd be cool also to do like we did today where you guys kind of mentioned the stuff that you've already seen, like The Conjuring and things like that, you know, that's also in there. That's not going to make a full review, you know, because you can only do one episode. And I mean, I guess we could do one episode where we do like,
remember we did like our top, what, 5 or 10 picks of things. We did. Right.
Stuff like that. And that was back in like, I guess that was the early times or whatever. We haven't really done that for this season. That was the first season.
Yeah, I mean, that was enjoyable, but I mean, we kind of still do that in a way, because like, you know, we talk about one thing, but then we talk about like 80 other things,
right? So, but it's just like the main focus, I guess, was on Willy's Wonderland. The other stuff is in there too. So
it was about 3 minutes of talking shit, which we always do that too. So yeah.
3 minutes? I think there was a little bit more than that, but
I'm rounding down. I mean, hell, that could be a podcast in its own. It's just like,
but
it would be really popular
or not very popular at all.
it would be like one of those like secret things where like people would that they would listen to it. They just may not want to like be associated with it or talk about it, but they would listen to it.
Oh lord.
I mean, everybody's heard of the Positive Brigade. We could be like the
Positive Brigade's bullshit though, because they go around spouting the most shit.
Well, it's not even a thing anymore. They broke up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
They disbanded, I should say. Not broke up.
I mean, the Positive Brigade was such a stupid fucking brigade. Like they were all about, oh, we got to spread positivity. But then, like, the first sign of shit-talking, they jump on, and they're like, yeah, fuck these people. It's like, so what happened to that when we were having our drama? Like, when we were having shit?
Honestly, I think the Positive Brigade actually happened because of that. But I could be wrong, but I think we were part of it.
You were the start of the Positive Brigade.
Not us. It was really the director, but whatever. That's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other topic for a whole other episode, like whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to listen to how we single-handedly, I guess, double-handedly ruined the movie.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys, and thank you, Cameron, so much for coming on being our special guest.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
I love talking smack.
it
was fun. We have to do this again.
Yes, let's do it. I'll try to get more people too. Man. I definitely want to get Chris P back again.
And Julia.
Yeah. I mean, and There's a ton of other people that would probably love to be on the show. So, but we've got about, I guess,
probably get Deborah Lamb on too.
That would be fun. She'd be.
We wouldn't get a word in edgewise.
That might actually be fun. You know, I don't know how she would be with like the shit talking at the end.
Oh, she would love it.
All right.
Well, as many films as she's done and been on, I'm sure she could probably have a few stories herself.
We've worked with her. We've partied with her. So we know.
Yeah, we know a lot. Drunk with her. It was really fun.
We've teabagged people together. So we would have some fun stories.
There you go. All right. Well, we're gonna end this show today, but I appreciate everybody being on the show. Tune in July for our next episode, and we look forward to checking that out. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye.